I believe today that we have a blessed hope, don't you? Now let me again always try to explain that the hope is not an iffy hope. It's a sure deal. It's the real thing. It's a definite thing. The blessed hope that is ours. And we know that one of these days Jesus is going to come again. And the blessed hope is something that Titus reminds us of in Titus chapter 2. He talks about it in verses 11 through 13. And I know that we need to recognize today, if we are saved, really saved, that this is our blessed hope. And there are great things that are involved with this precious and blessed hope, this sure hope that we have. Why is the blessed hope the blessed hope? Why do we call it the blessed hope? Why is it the blessed hope? So Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Boy, that's good advice, isn't it? Why? Verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope." What is that? "And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, He is going to come again. It's going to happen. Now, the blessed hope is a wonderful thing. It has some fringe benefits. Great fringe benefits. We're going to see our loved ones again. Isn't that good? All of us have loved ones up there. We're going to see them again. And you talk about a great benefit. That's going to be a great day. I'm going to fly out of here this afternoon and go to a funeral of one of our dear friends, Lita Todd. And we've known them, my wife and I, for years. Great pastor in Vandalia, Ohio, 37 years at one church. And his wife went home to be with the Lord the other day, and I'm going to fly and be there for the funeral on Monday. But you know what? I'm glad I'll see her again someday. She's already with the Lord. Thank God we will see our loved ones again. Another friend's benefit is we'll be free from sin. Thank God for that. I sort of get tired once in a while of all the sin that is around me in this world. You ever feel that way? It's on television. It's out in public. It's everywhere you go. It's just, people just have no respect for God anymore. They're not living for God. They have no reverence for God. And we see all of that sin everywhere. We'll be free from sin. I'll be able to watch the Ranger game without having to pass beer down the aisle, which I don't do anyway. I don't want to do that. By the way, I learned they do have a section out there. They don't sell beer. That's where we ought to go, right? Well, some of you Baptists, I know you'd probably want to go to the other place. But we'll be free from sin, and thank God we'll be free from sorrow. Free from all sorrow. We have a lot of sorrow in this life. Can't always explain it. There are things we cannot understand. And we should not try to understand them. We should faith them out, leave them in the hands of God. Because He makes no mistakes. Can God make any mistakes? Absolutely not. An unwise person would get bitter and angry at God. But thank God there'll be no more sorrow, be no more suffering, none of those things. But you know what the main attraction is going to be? We will see Him. We will see our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One of these days we're going to behold Him. I've never seen Him. I've talked to a few strange people who claim they did. I've talked to some, and I've had different artists who drew a picture of Christ and said, "We know that's what He looks like because I had a vision and I painted that from that vision." And you go over here and another artist has a different picture and they painted it from a vision and it looks nothing like that. We don't know what it looks like. It probably doesn't look like Solomon's head of Christ. Maybe Antichrist will look like that. I don't know. We don't know. Antichrist is going to fool a lot of people. Maybe he's going to have the long hair and look like that picture that a lot of people have. And I'm not knocking you for having the picture up in your house or whatever. Don't bow down and worship before it. But we don't know what he looks like. I've never seen him. and neither have you. But one of these days we're going to see it. Fanny Crosby, who was blind, said, I want to see my Savior first of all. And she's already seen him, by the way, but that was her heart's desire, and that's what she wrote in a song. I want to see my Savior first of all. John tells us in 1 John 3:2, we will see him as he is. We're going to see the manifestation of all the Godhead in the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be when we will finally see Jesus Christ. We'll see the person of his glory. We don't understand the glory of God in this life. We can't comprehend how great God is. We try and try real hard, and some try harder than others, but we cannot fully comprehend. You remember the story in the Bible of the Transfiguration, and the Lord Jesus Christ's body was so luminiferous, so bright and so brilliant, as they beheld his glory for just a little while. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, brighter than the noonday sun. When Saul met him on the road to Damascus, it blinded him. When Saul met him on the road to Damascus, he could do nothing but bow in the presence of the almighty glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be when we see the person of his glory, and we'll see the power of his glory. The power of his glory. Wherefore, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. The power of his glory. We don't have to bow to anybody else, but we'll bow to Jesus. We'll gladly bow in the presence of Jesus. I've heard some strange things of what people say they're going to do, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to be so humbled. Just like was just sung, we're going to bow in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the magnificent, marvelous, beautiful Lamb of Almighty God. What a Savior we have. How marvelous he is. The glory of his presence, the glory, the power of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Madeline Murray O'Hare's already bowed before him, whether she likes it or not. And all the present crop of atheists will bow before him. They will. But you and I will do it in joy and peace and happiness and the thrill of finally seeing the one who died for us on the cross, our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's also the praise of his glory. 10,000 times 10,000 of angels and beings in heaven are singing the glory of God even right now. You talk about a choir. You'd like to have a choir like that. We've got a great choir. But how would you like to have a 10,000 times 10,000 voice choir, and they're all singing praises and glory to the Lord, and everybody's singing up there? That was a beautiful song we just had, wasn't it? Can you multiply that about 10,000 times? And the praise and glory that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, that sounds boring. Oh, it won't be boring. I promise you that. It'll be a joyful, wonderful time, and throughout all of eternity, every time we can, we'll sing praises to his name, and we'll all be on key, amen, whatever key that is. The Queen of Sheba showed up. She said, I want to see about this Solomon. I've heard about Solomon. They say he's so great and everything's so nice. I'm just going to go there myself and see the Queen of Sheba. By the way, she was wealthy and rich. Probably beautiful and all of those things. Very smart, a leader, and she came there. She got through after she had been around Solomon a while and watched him as he went up those steps and came down in the entourage and all of his wealth and all of the horses and all of the men and all of the different things. When she got through, she said, the half hadn't been told. She said, I heard a bunch about him, but the half has never been told. And friend, I couldn't tell you the half about Jesus Christ. The half hadn't been told. But when we see him, we'll be like her. Like she was in awe to Solomon, we'll be in awe to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The half has never been told. Thank God for Jesus. And I'm glad that someday we shall behold him. I love that old song, We Shall Behold Him. the king in all of his glory. And then the king is someone that wants us to be with him. We'll be with him. You know, Jesus doesn't want us away from him. He loves us. And we are the bride of Christ. All born-again believers who are saved, born again, in this dispensation, make up the bride of Christ. And the bridegroom wants to be with his bride. And they'll always enjoy being together. In heaven, it'll be the perfect scenario. Down here sometimes it doesn't work out too good at later. They want to be with them until they get married, and afterwards they want to fight. But that's not God's will, is it? You're to stay together for a lifetime. That is a covenant before Almighty God. And you work those things out. If you're Christians, you work those things out. We ought to have that love and that kind of capacity in our life. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you, he wants us to be with him, and he has some great plans for us. He hadn't been up there all this time doing nothing. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and he's made us that promise. And I'm glad that Jesus is there, and he is wanting us to be with him, and we shall, the scripture says, ever be with the Lord. Paul said that in Thessalonians. When the rapture takes place, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those of us who remain that are saved at that point will go up and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Nobody can take us out of heaven. Nobody can remove us from his presence. Nobody can remove us from his love. We shall ever, 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 ever be with the Lord. What a glorious thought that is, to be with the Lord. You say, well, is heaven that great? And are we really going to enjoy it that much? Oh, you just don't realize how much we're going to enjoy it. We're not going to be some kind of angelic being with wings floating around on the cloud up there somewhere, twiddling our thumbs saying, well, I wonder what we're going to do. We don't have anything to do. Listen, God has more plans than you can imagine. God has a lot of wonderful things for us. We're going to be busy in the kingdom work. We're going to live in spheres that we can't even imagine. We're going to be in areas that, well, we can think a thought and be from one place, say the East Coast or the West Coast, just by thinking it. We'll have new dimensions because of our glorified body and being with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shall ever be with the Lord. Now, the opposite of that is you shall ever be with the devil. You shall ever be in hell. You shall ever be with all that have died and gone to hell. You know, there's some horrible people in hell. I believe people like Hitler and Mussolini and some of the more modern ones, Saddam Hussein and others, I believe some of those are in hell today. Now, that's all in the hands of God, but they had no testimony that they knew the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were very sinful and mean people. So that'll be the kind of people that you'll be in hell with if you don't get saved. But the opposite of that is we'll be in heaven with Jesus. We shall ever be with the Lord. That's pretty good security. And then we shall be like him. I like that. We'll be like him. Adam lost it. They were like him in many ways. God said, let us make man in our own image. Not a physical image necessarily, but the likeness of God. And there was intelligence. And man has a body, soul, and spirit. We're a Trinity. And so he said, we'll make man in our likeness, and man will be intelligent. But he gave man free will, and man chose to sin, and Adam sinned and cast us into this chaos and this mess that we have today. But when originally he was made in the image of God. But Adam lost it all, Adam and Eve. I sure wish they hadn't done that. I sure wish if they hadn't done that, I could just preach all day and you'd never get tired. And I could go past 12 o'clock and you'd say, oh, that's great. I'm not a bit tired. But since we're all sinners, you'll be tired by the time I get through. But in heaven, we're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we're going to get the glory back. We're going to have the pristine conditions that they had in the Garden of Eden and never be tested by Satan, because he's going to be taken care of. and we're going to have a glorified body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, he gave us a little glimpse of his glorified body just for a little while in his post-resurrection ministry, didn't he? What a body. He walked through the door and didn't stop him. He sat down and ate fish. I like that. I believe I can get some hush puppies and fish and french fries up in heaven. Be holy stuff then, you know, won't have any grease in it. But he could eat fish, honey, honeycomb. He could go through a door in a dimension we don't understand and be on the other side of the door. He could be here, he could be there. We're going to have a body like Jesus Christ. We shall be like him. We won't have to ask a lot of questions. We'll know what's going on. We'll know why. We won't have to go around for eternity and say, well, why is this and why is that? God's going to take care of that and give us a capacity to understand all the things that happen we didn't understand in this life, and all of the things about his plan, and all of the things about his program, because we're going to have a body like Jesus Christ. We're going to get the glory back. Heaven. Heaven is filled with the glory of God. Heaven is filled with the glory of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. His image has been marred, but we'll know him, and it'll be a beautiful sight when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have bodies that have no more pain. They will not be mortal bodies. Our bodies are mortal bodies now. We hate to admit that. One of the biggest businesses in the world, billions of dollars are spent every year of people trying to keep this body from dying and keep it in good shape, keep it looking as good as you can. That's why Brother Rigsby and I do what we do. We work out every day at the table, try to keep ourselves in peak strength and condition by eating all the right things that we think are right. But we have mortal bodies. Who shall change our vile bodies? Who's going to change them? Jesus, God. He will change it. 1 Corinthians tells us about that. Who's going to change our vile bodies? Though we're saved, we still have the sin-cursed bodies, and we know where we're headed unless Christ comes again. It's appointed unto mankind. Man wants to die. After that, the judgment. That's just a fact of life. It's going to take place if Jesus doesn't return in our lifetime. We're going to face it. But up there, we'll never have to face that again. Now we're just a chunk of coal. We're just a chunk of coal. But you know what comes out of a chunk of coal? Diamonds. And one of these days, our chunks of coal are going to turn into diamonds. We're going to find that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what we are. We're like the first Adam now. But thank God someday we're going to be like the second Adam. Because he got it all back for us. He regained it all on the cross. He got it back for us. And therefore we'll enjoy that original glorified position that he wants us to have. That he intended for us to have. God does not want anybody to go to hell. But now here's the problem. Some are going to be left behind when Christ comes. There's the problem. I want to ask you a question today. If Christ came today, would you be left behind? Or would you go up in the air in the rapture to meet the Lord? Would you go up to meet Jesus if he were to come today? All of these promises are to those who are looking for his coming. Looking, as verse 13 says, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, that's what we should be looking for. But if you're not, you'll be left behind. Left behind. That's why Christians, you and I need to live right, and we need to witness right. We need to try to win lost people to Jesus Christ, our loved ones, our friends. That's why Friend Day you should bring, if you can, get a friend here. Somebody you work with, somebody that's unsaved, a relative. get them under the sound of the gospel, hoping that they'll be saved, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when that time comes, when Christ returns, they won't be left behind. They'll go up to be... Wouldn't you want your friends to go up in the rapture with you? Well, you may have one or two you may not want, but anyway, they may not be real friends, but they ought to be... We ought to want all of our friends to go to heaven with us. Ought to want all those around us to go. Those will be left behind who do not know Christ. All of this good stuff, all of the beauties, all of the power of His presence and His person and all of that, that's not for you until you get saved. Then you can look forward to it too. Are you discouraged today? Are you depressed? Are you down? Are you lowly? Listen, get your eyes off of the worldly circumstances and feast them on the potential that we have and the prospect that is ours through Jesus Christ. He is going to come again. Heaven will be ours. We'll be like Him. We'll love to be in His presence. And we'll never have any more heartaches, no pain, none of those things. No more disappointments. Can you imagine being in a place where there'll be no more of those things? No more death, no more sorrow. We are looking forward to the time, those that are saved, when we'll be with Jesus. Now let's don't forget a couple things. Number one, we've got to give an account for our stewardship as a believer. Don't forget that. We're saved. We're going to stand before Him and give an account. The judgment seat of Christ is not to determine whether you're saved or not. It's to determine the rewards and what you've done since you've been saved. But may I be very clear to you, dear friend, today, that unless you've come to Jesus Christ and trusted Him as your Savior, you do not have this blessed hope. You just don't have it. You say, well, are you glad I don't have it? Not at all. I want you to have it. I want you to have it today. I want you to walk down the aisle in just a little bit and come forward and say, I trust Christ as my Savior. I want that blessed hope, that sure hope that I'm going to be with Jesus someday. And I'm going to have a resurrected body like His, and I'm going to live in heaven forever and ever. That's what we want you to do, and that's what God wants you to do. We want you to come today, claim that blessed hope for yourself. And then as believers, just remember that though we know we're going to heaven, let's not forget we're going to give an account for the way we lived and whether we've obeyed the Lord or not in our lives. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. What makes the blessed hope, summed up really in one word, is Jesus. Friend, if you're here without Him, come and trust Him today. You know you need Him. He's spoken to you. Just step out and come front to the front. Somebody will show you in private how to be saved. And Christian, think about what Christ has done. Think about our future. Think about where our focus should be today, on Jesus and on living for Him. Father, thank You for Your word. In Christ's name, we ask for You to work in our hearts right now. Do Your office work that we cannot do. In Jesus' name.